Mohamed Tamal was born in Brayton, Transvaal, on November 3, 1941, to Haji Yosef Ahmed Tamal and Hawa Ismail Dindar. Tamal's father was an immigrant and arrived in South Africa in 1918 from India. Tamal was one of six, with two sisters and three brothers. In Brayton, where Tamal grew up, there were no primary schools, and for this reason, he was homeschooled. As a child, Tamal suffered from asthma. Dr. Yosef Dadu, the leader of the Transvaal Indian Congress and later chairman of the South African Communist Party, was his doctor. Tamal's father and Dadu were close friends. In 1949, his family moved to Roodepoort in the western Transvaal. Again in 1955, the family moved to Balfour in the southeast of the Transvaal, where his father opened a shop. While in Balfour, Tamal was forced to go to school in Standerton, as there was no school in Balfour. He completed his high school education at the Johannesburg Indian High School. Once more, the Tamal family moved back to Roodepoort in 1956. In addition, in 1956, at the age of 15, Tamal made a speech in his class about the nationalization of the Suez Canal by President Gamal Abdel Nasser of Egypt. His teacher warned him that this speech was political, but Tamal was not worried about that, because he was more concerned about speaking the truth.
To understand Ahmed Tamal's entrance into politics, you first need to understand the men he grew up around. Despite being a struggling shopkeeper, Tamal's father was a close personal friend with the aforementioned Yusuf Dadu, who, at the time, was a leader of the Transvaal Indian Congress. Yusuf Dadu was a preeminent player in the anti-apartheid struggle, generally lobbying on behalf of South Africa's Indian population. He became a household name for, amongst other things, organizing and promoting a passive resistance campaign for all Indians, in response to the 1939 Asiatic Land and Trading Act. He was imprisoned for several months and was released in late 1941, around the time of Ahmed Tamal's birth. With the influence of Dadu weighing on Tamal's mind in his formative years, he carried passionate communist rhetoric with him throughout his schooling. When he attended Roodepoort Indian School, he joined the Roodepoort Youth Study Group, which was a small political awareness group that held a loose affiliation with the Transvaal Indian Youth Congress, itself an offshoot of the Transvaal Indian Congress, of which Yusuf Dadu was a pivotal and leading member. The group was not initially radicalized. They studied the struggle against apartheid rather than actively take part in it. The group flew under the radar due to their perceived apolitical stance, so they were able to invite such renowned and incendiary speakers as Chief Luthuli and Ahmed Kathadra, who also had a profound impact on young Tamal. In fact, as stated by his biographer Imtiaz KG in his biography on Tamal, Quest for Justice, quote, "It was the Roodepoort Youth Study Group that was responsible for putting Ahmed on the road from instinctive humanism to analytical politics," end quote. He took the knowledge gained from his work in the Roodepoort Youth Study Group, which developed into a strong anti-apartheid stance, and brought it with him to the Johannesburg Training Institute for Indian Teachers, where he received his teaching degree in 1963. He returned to teach at his alma mater, the Roodepoort Indian School, where he attempted to radicalize the students by distributing political leaflets.
In December 1966, Ahmed Tamal left South Africa. His ostensible reason for going was the Hajj, the pilgrimage to Mecca that all Muslims must perform once. For Tamal, who after his work in radicalizing Indian students was beginning to be considered dangerous by the government, the Hajj was a way out of the country, a way to not only ensure his own safety, but to learn and acquire resources that he could not in South Africa. Going on the Hajj got him a government passport. He traveled to Saudi Arabia as advertised, but after the pilgrimage he did not return to South Africa. Instead, he went to London and stayed there for 2 years. In London, teaching at the immigration school there and working in immigrant communities, he crossed paths again with Yusuf Dadu, his childhood doctor and now a leader of the South African Communist Party, who had been forced to flee South Africa in 1960 after the Sharpeville massacre. In London, Dadu convinced Tamal to join the party, and during this period Tamal also became a member of Umkhonto Wesizwe. But the Communist Party undoubtedly had the greater influence on him, and in 1969 Tamal left London for Moscow. The party had recognized that Tamal would be an effective agent if he could return to South Africa, but first they sent him to the Lenin Institute in Moscow. The Lenin Institute was a communist organization established in 1919 that provided practical and ideological training for international party members, designed to aid them in the armed struggle in their countries and eventually to lead to the worldwide emergence of communism. Students at the Institute learned underground political strategy, as well as methods of underground communications and dissemination of communist materials. The Lenin Institute was a popular destination for freedom fighters around the world, who found it easier to work there than in their native countries. Some students were not even communists. One of Timol's contemporaries at the Institute was Thabo Mbeki, a member of the ANC and future president of South Africa. Timol spent 8 months at the Institute, learning skills intended to make him an effective underground communist leader in the South African Indian community. Finally, in 1970, he returned to South Africa, ready to continue the fight.
After returning to South Africa in February of 1970, Timol began to work relentlessly on behalf of the SACP. Although he did not carry out any major plans, protests, or attacks against the apartheid government, Timol attempted to fortify underground institutions that would carry out the SACP's work and remained as inconspicuous as possible. In addition to this, he created political pamphlets and distributed literature for nearly 2 years, and simultaneously identified potential recruits for the SACP. Though ambitious and quite successful, Timol's operations were abruptly ended with his arrest on October 22, 1971. After being detained in the Newlands police station, the police force transported Timol to the infamous John Vorster Square. According to the official reports, Timol escaped from an officer on October 27, 1971, jumped from a window, and took his own life. Although no official records exist, Timol's body had clear indications of severe physical assault and torture, which compelled his family and the rest of South Africa to believe that Timol had been executed by the police force. Unfortunately, the investigations into Timol's death resulted in the exoneration of the apartheid state, subsequently declaring his cause of death to be suicide. A life of secrecy, struggle, and activism was brought to an untimely demise, with absolutely no repercussions for the perpetrators of such a horrendous crime. Although Ahmed Timol was heavily invested in the South African Communist Party and committed to bringing about change for the oppressed, especially black South Africans, Timol's death had more of an immediate impact on South Africa than most of his political and social endeavors. He spent his years as an activist recruiting potential members for the SACP and laying the foundation for underground institutions that would combat the apartheid regime. Timol successfully carried out these efforts for quite some time, but his arrest on October 22, 1971 brought an end to his activities, and shortly after, his very life. The nature, however, of his brutish torture and grisly death brought national attention to Ahmed Timol's life and illustrated the malevolence of not only the South African police force, but also the apartheid regime that exonerated Timol's murderers. Furthermore, the fact that the police force executed a political detainee without any repercussions foreshadowed a grim future for the countless political activists in South Africa.